Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here during this most wonderful time of the year, but it's also the most hectic time of the year. So thanks for taking us along wherever you are. Maybe you're doing some holiday shopping, heading to work, walking the dog, what have you. Thanks for making the Be Our Guest podcast a part of your day. We're getting ready to sit down with listener Michelle to talk about her trip down to Walt Disney World. Lots to talk about. It was about this time last year, so lots of holiday fun in this show. Quick word from our sponsors off the top of the show here. We've got the wisdomofwalt.com, of course, here on a Monday. Two great books for the Disney-phile in your life. So check them out over at thewisdomofwalt.com. You've got the original, The Wisdom of Walt by author Jeff Barnes, talking about how Walt Disney, the man, so many people don't think of it, but Walt Disney was a man with a dream and with a family, and how he got the most out of life and got the most out of those around him to turn his dreams into reality in Disneyland. And then Jeff Barnes explores those dreams going further with Disneyland and beyond The Wisdom of Walt. Two great books. So check them out. You can get an audiobook, an ebook. You can also get the traditional book signed by author Jeff Barnes. So check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. We've been saying this for years, but save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for with pictures, and so much more. For the cost of a couple of ice cream sandwich cookies, you're set for 365 days of great information. That's what I'm looking forward to for Marathon Weekend. Oh, Sleepy Hollow, I'm coming for you. Check them out today. They're a great sponsor. They're going to make your next trip great. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1421 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. And you want to make me, you want to get a little nervous? This time next week, Christmas Eve. Just for those folks that are just wondering, if you haven't looked at a calendar lately, you probably know. But if you're like me, I do all my shopping online, so it is absolutely crunch time, even with Amazon Prime. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun time next week, but we're going to get you through this week with a great trip report from this time last year. It's going to be a lot of fun, so we're heading out to KC, actually Independence, Missouri, where Harry Truman's from, one of our former presidents. We have Michelle joining us today. Michelle, how's it going?
I'm great. How are you, Mike?
I am doing wonderful. You're out there in the land of Nate Parrish and Wedway Radio and all that good stuff, and Kansas City, the city of fountains here in Missouri, right?
Yes, City of Fountains. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love your ballparks, too. I love Kauffman.
That's Go Royals.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a big Royals fan. Every time I say that to Nate Parrish, he gets mad. He's like, you're a Cardinals fan. You can't be both. I'm like, well, you know, but they're my American League team, man. Anyway, so today we're going to talk about your trip you took down to Walt Disney World about this time last year. So again, we're going to keep you in the holiday spirit here in this season. We've been trying to do that here in 2018. To keep everybody's spirits up and have some fun here on the show. So tell us about this trip we're going to talk about today. Just give us like when you went down, who you traveled with, where you stayed, that kind of stuff.
Sure. So our trip dates were Tuesday, December 5th through Tuesday, December 12th. And traveling with me was my husband and our two daughters, age 8 and 7. And then my mom and dad joined us for the whole time. They live just 10 minutes from us. So we traveled down together, and then my husband's parents live in Tampa, so they came over for a couple days. They're AP holders, so we kind of had a multi-generational trip going on. It was great.
That sounds good. So was the goal of this trip, I know you had something kind of in the middle of the trip we'll talk about when we get there, but was it basically to see the holiday stuff, or is this just kind of how schedules worked out? Well, why did you decide to go down then?
So we did this exact same week last year or the year before, and we loved it. We loved the Christmas atmosphere. We loved the crowds, the weather. And so we just decided, yeah, we'd like to go back. And then when it hooked up with the schedule for my husband's specialist graduation, which we'll come to in a little bit, but when it hooked up with that time frame, I'm like, perfect. It just worked out perfect. The stars aligned and we booked those dates.
Awesome. So we got a lot to talk about today. So I'm going to be kind of jumping all over the place because I want to get in the stories. That's the most important thing for me. I like to hear the memories that were made. But let me ask you this. So and I've been doing this over the last couple months here on the Monday shows. Like, what's your background with Disney? Why do you love Disney so much? Why is it so important to go to a Disney destination for a vacation with your family?
Absolutely. I grew up going to Disney, both land and world. Probably land more than world, but still equal, experiences with both in terms of my childhood memories. My husband never went, so when we went last year, that was his first time, and he totally got the Disney bug. I mean, just looking at our girls' faces when they were meeting characters and seeing the fireworks, I mean, that is really what hooked him and reignited my love for Disney. I just love that Disney is a place where families can get away from it all and just forget about it, act like kids, and just make those core memories. A little Inside Out reference there for you. So I think that that's such a huge thing that draws us back over and over again.
And having girls the age that they're at for that trip and then this one that we're going to talk about today, just basically really right at just the prime age for Walt Disney World to make those memories. I would imagine that time from the initial trip to this one we're going to talk about today, the girls were very excited. And, you know, I'm sure it was something that was talked about, you know, around the house up until the time you guys headed to the airport.
So this was a surprise trip. So
I forgot about that. That's right. I couldn't do that. You are great. I could not do that. I cannot keep a secret.
It was so hard. So we told them, just so I could talk about it, I said, hey, we're going in May. I just kept telling them, we're going in May. We're going in the springtime when your dad's out of school and you guys are out of school. So I could kind of like get their feel for what they wanted to do. But then when it actually came down to it, we pulled them out of school in the afternoon. And I'm a terrible mom. I told them we were going to get flu shots, and then we ended up at the airport.
I gotta write that one down. That is totally you're talking about throwing a curveball. The kids, man, we're gonna do something that you hate. Okay, actually, we're going to Walt Disney World.
That's right. Surprise.
Oh man, that's sweet. That's parenting 101 right there for all the folks that are becoming parents here soon.
There you go.
That's what you do. That's why you become a parent. So what was the moment like when it was revealed that A, they're not getting a needle in their arm, and then they're going to Walt Disney World too? I mean, bonus.
So my oldest is like a total planner. She's type A, just, you know, your true firstborn child. She's like, well, I got to pack and I got to do all this. And I was like, don't worry, I got it all packed. And she was like, it was just pure shock. They just couldn't process it that, like, okay, we're going to the airport right now. We're getting on a plane and we're going to Disney. So I think I love that video that I took of them and their faces, and my parents are there, you know, surprising them too. So it was just such a neat thing to finally be able to share it with them, and everyone gets super excited.
Absolutely. All right, so you guys get down there. Where did you stay, and tell us about your accommodations? How did it work out?
Sure, we stayed at Old Key West, and we rented DVC Point. So we had two studio rooms just in the same building. It worked out great. First level, my dad had a knee replacement, so it was perfect for him not to do the stairs, and it was just great. We loved Old Key West. It was quiet. It reminded me of like a little vacation village.
Yes.
It was kind of away from the hustle and bustle of everything. And it was great.
Yeah, I love Old Key West because it makes me feel like, here's how I see Old Key West. And it's weird because, excuse me, Old Key West was one of the last places I decided to stay at Walt Disney World. Like, I just would discount it every time, you know, like, oh, well, you can do your typical moderates, or you can do, you know, like your Animal Kingdom Lodge, your Wilderness Lodge, your Values. That was off my radar so far. And then I stayed there. And the thing about Old Key West is, you know, I think a lot of us might have this dream. Like, I dream that one day I'll retire and I'll move to Florida, you know, and I'll be the old retired Floridian that plays golf a few times a week and just hangs out, you know. It does. It feels very communal within Old Key West. Mm-hmm. It's spread out, but I mean, you got the golf course, you got the gurgling suitcase, you know, a little bar, you got the nice Olivia's restaurant. It is, and it's got the lake and all the pool and stuff. I mean, it really does. I mean, it almost feels like not a resort, but a community in itself.
Absolutely. Yeah. You feel like you could just move right in and just set up house and stay, which would be fantastic.
Now, do you guys have a car? Because I think that is something that is beneficial there. Now, we didn't, but we used Uber a lot because it's spread out, you know, and sometimes you don't want to walk mm-hmm. to the bus stops. But how'd that work for you guys?
Yeah, we rented a car mainly because of our day in the middle where we traveled for my husband's graduation ceremony. So it was just better for us to just have a car, and it made it getting around there easier. And then just, I mean, not that we don't like Disney transportation, but it was nice being in control of our own transportation time.
Cool. So let's walk through your times in the parks. Of course, you said you had, you know, your parents were there, your husband's parents met you there from Tampa, and you kind of had a lot of moving parts there. Multi-generational trips are awesome, but you also have many mm-hmm. considerations. So walk us through some of the things that came up that maybe our listeners could learn from, and just some of the fun memories you made.
Sure. So our first day that we arrived, we checked in, we had some lunch at Homecoming, which was amazing.
Oh, killing me.
And then, yeah, I know it's one of your favorites. That
so
chicken
good.
Is on point.
Yes, it is. I just had, it's podcast night, so I just had Taco Bell before we recorded. So it's not Homecoming. I can tell you that much.
So then, while we're having lunch at Homecoming, we did one more surprise and told the girls and that we were taking them to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party that night. So we were just keeping the surprises going. So that after we finished, I guess it was a late lunch, we headed over to Magic Kingdom and enjoyed the Christmas party, which was our first time there. And I can't say enough good things about the time we had. I mean, I know there's lots of good debate out there for if the, you know, the price is worth the time that you get, and we would say yes. I mean, we had great crowds, great weather, and I think when you're going to the party, you have to really consider, like, am I going to do pure party things? Am I going to do the rides? Am I going to meet characters? And we really focused on doing some rides that we didn't have fast passes for later in the week, and then obviously we hit up all the special shows, fireworks. The parade was my absolute favorite parade I've ever seen at Disney. It was just magical. So we shut down the park that night. So that was a good first night.
Yeah, the party, because we always have, as we open our gifts on Christmas morning here at the house, and I think a lot of folks have this tradition, you know, to have the... You know, years ago, it used to be the Disney holiday parade or Christmas parade on Christmas morning. Now it's more of just a bunch of, you know, musical performances, and it's a big commercial. But, you know, the thing is, it's a tradition either way in our house. And going to the Christmas party is, for me, that I've gone a couple times, it's as close as I'm going to get to, you know, experiencing that firsthand, you know, being in that environment of what I've seen on TV on Christmas morning, you know, with the parade, the toy soldiers marching down Main Street, playing their instruments. Pam mentioned this on a podcast a couple of weeks ago that, you know, it is. I mean, it's almost like it's like a Christmas card come to life. And it's that mm-hmm. it's the thing you've seen in the movies so many times. Is there anything the girls that really stood out to them, you know, within the Christmas party, or that you really got a kick out of, like a certain that you said you really enjoyed the parade? But were there any other moments like that the girls really got a huge kick out of?
We really tried to hit up all the PhotoPass photographers because, you know, they always have the special magic shots for the parties. And my girls are not shy about asking for the magic shots. Do you have a magic shot? They will, you know, they'll just ask the PhotoPass guy, and they love those. It's kind of like a treasure hunt for them. So they liked that. And then they would always be like, did it show up in the app yet? Is it there? So we would pull it up and look at it and say, oh, there's Tinkerbell. She showed up in our picture. So they like that. And they like that just through in general. But the party was extra special because you get the unique magic shot.
Absolutely. They sound like they're having a great time. So now, you said you guys stayed till the party ended, which is midnight, you know, it's late. So
yes.
did you sleep in the next day? Tell me at least you gave him a little sleep. Come on now. Did you? Or did
oh my
you go,
God.
Get up and go?
No, we are like rope drop
to
fireworks people all the time.
I'm getting to be an old man. Yeah. I need rest.
I think my parents were feeling that by like the third or fourth day, so they slept in. But my husband and my girls, I mean, I think the adrenaline of being at Disney just gives you that jolt and gets us out of bed. And because the next day we had a pre-park open breakfast at Garden Grill. So we were up and outdoor.
Oh, can you had a pre-park? Oh my gosh. You didn't know just rope drive. You're there before. Oh my gosh. So what? You had like three or four hours of sleep that night. Well played.
like I said, I think it's the adrenaline that keeps me going. Man. I'm not a coffee person, but I did enjoy some coffee that morning just to get that extra little bit of a jolt. And I mean, when you're at Disney, you just got to take advantage of that time. That's how our touring philosophy goes.
I get it. So Garden Grill, how'd that go? That's one of my favorites.
Oh my gosh, it was so good. We love the family style, and my children could have bathed in that chocolate sauce that comes with the Mickey waffles. I swear they just kept bringing it out because my children were like drinking it. But it was good. And then really my goal of having that pre-park opening breakfast was to be able to go and ride Soarin' before the park even was officially open, which we did accomplish because I didn't get Fast Pass. I just chose Frozen over Soarin'. So it worked out in the whole scheme of things to get there early, get on Soarin', and then move on with our day.
That's a good tip. Now, let me ask you this kind of in the middle here, because like you said, you had your in-laws, they're Florida residents and they're annual pass holders. Your parents came down with you. And when you have kind of a fluctuating group traveling with you, because I have this all the time, because now that we go down, you know, because of the podcast, we have friends all over the world, you know, and so some might be there for 3 days of our trip, some might be there for a day. And we're always trying to make plans where, you know, it's hard to kind of nail down like an ADR that everybody can get together, or making fast passes for like, you know, fluid groups and stuff that people like. So in your planning, because it sounds like you're definitely a good planner, you know, what tips do you have for folks that are in this kind of a situation where you have, you know, people that aren't there the entire stay, that are maybe, you know, you just had a lot of variables. So how'd you handle that?
I'm a spreadsheet person, so I had every day mapped out. And then when it came down to Fast Pass day and ADR day, I just knew, okay, this is the day that I'll have four people, and this is the day that I'll have six people, and this is a ride that all eight of us will go on. So it was just me personally. I like lists, and my spreadsheets were color-coded, so it was easy for me, but I can't say enough about being organized when those days come, because inevitably something's going to go wrong. You can't log into My Disney Experience, or Stitch comes up and he ate the page. So just be prepared so that it can go smoothly as possible.
I just had this, let's just say it was a mini meltdown I had the other day that, you know, I was getting all the errors on the Disney site. We get them as travel agents too, just so everybody knows it's fair game. It's not just the general public. And I got the Wreck-It Ralph and I got the Stitch, and I'm like, I don't care how cute these error messages are. I just want to get my stuff done. I don't want to see Stitch or Wreck-It Ralph. As much as I like them and they're cute characters, I just want to throw my computer. So just know that we do that as travel agents too. So especially when we're trying to get stuff done for folks that we want to get things done for. But did you kind of take the lead on, I think this is going to be a great ADR for everybody, or a fast pass, or did you get feedback from the grandparents and everybody involved?
No, I'm pretty much the planner. Everyone's just like, you tell us where to go, we will show up. And that worked out well. I mean, I know pretty much everyone's preferences, so obviously take that into consideration. But everyone was happy to just let me do it and just guide them along the way.
That's a good idea. I mean, as long as you have a good read of your traveling party, because you get too many cooks in the kitchen, you can have lots of problems.
Yeah.
I know that everybody's well-intentioned and everybody should have a say in their vacation because it's everybody's vacation. But my wife's kind of just turned the reins over to me, and I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm just saying I know what she likes and I know what the kids, you know, the girls like. So, I'm either the hero or the goat. It's kind of a dangerous spot to put yourself in, though, to be honest. You know, like you're going to be one of the others, so you better do a good job. Now, you guys mentioned you kind of took a break day in the middle of this trip. And you guys drove up to Valdosta, Florida, Georgia, which I believe is, it was a funny story about Valdosta. When we drove down from St. Louis for years and years, we always, like the first three or four times, said, oh, if we can just make it to Valdosta, we'll get a hotel that night. We'll go to sleep and get up in the morning and finish our drive. It's about 3 or 4 hours into Walt Disney World from there. But every time we'd hit Valdosta, like we'd know, okay, we're almost to Florida. We're so close to Florida. And then we'd say, you know, well, we're almost to Florida. We're almost to Walt Disney World. Well, it's not really that way. It's a long haul still from the Florida state line. But so you guys headed up there because your husband was getting his specialist degree. So tell us about that break day and heading up to Georgia.
Yeah. So that morning we got up and we went had breakfast at Ohana. Everyone was with us. So we had all eight of us. So we enjoyed breakfast at Ohana. And then myself, my husband, and his parents, we drove, started the drive up there. My parents and our girls stayed, had a pool day, and then they did the La Nuba Cirque show at Disney Springs that night.
Nice.
I knew that my parents and my daughters were just pretty much worn slick at that point, so they needed a rest day. So I said, you guys stay, we'll go do this graduation, because it was an evening graduation, so we got back late. So it was good that we, you know, had the option of letting my parents stay for a rest day. So my husband and his parents and I drove. It's about 3.5 hours from Disney, so it wasn't too bad. It rained. It was kind of a rainy, cool week that week we were there, just not your typical. I mean, December's kind of fickle anyways in Disney, but it rained and we got up there and he walked for his graduation. It was really nice. He has worked really hard for that specialist degree. You know, you were in education, so you know how important important those steps up on the education ladder can be.
Yes, they equate to other steps on other situations, which are nice to be able to afford Disney vacations.
Absolutely. So yes, that was really good to see that, and I'm just so glad. Like I said, the timing aligned perfectly. So he did that, and then we drove back and got home around midnight, and everyone slept in a little bit that next morning, and then we ended up at Hollywood Studios, but it rained like all day, just kind of like a drizzly, cool rain. So it wasn't our most productive day because we were dodging raindrops, but it was still a good day. I mean, a rainy day at Disney is better than a dry day at home during the winter for me here in the Midwest.
That's what I was gonna say. I mean, yeah, because you mentioned that you kind of ran into a cold snap while you guys were down there. And you had to, you know, because even in Disney in December and January, you got to remember, I've said this on the podcast many times, I ran a half marathon in sleet and snow in January at Walt Disney World. I mean, it was miserable and it was colder for the marathon. The next day, it just was clear. There wasn't precipitation.
Oh, wow.
And it was just, you don't think about it. The problem was, like, a lot of people go to, you know, you go to vacation to Walt Disney World and you think shorts, t-shirts, you know, because that's basically what you get to wear a lot most of the year. But you do gotta, when you're going December, January, early February, you know, maybe late November, you gotta be careful because you can run into those situations where it's not just chilly. I mean, once it gets dark and you've been in the park, you know, for maybe 5-6 hours after sunset, it's downright cold, especially if there's a breeze. So you guys ran into that, and how'd you handle it?
So the first like 2 days were perfect Florida days, 80 degrees, 60 degrees at night, sunshine, and then the cold front moved in and it was like high of 50. And then, like you said, when that sun went down, it was like 30 degrees. So waiting for fireworks, I think we bought every pair of Mickey gloves that they owned, and we bought a couple sweatshirts. And, I mean, we brought jeans, of course, so we were prepared for that, but I was not prepared to need gloves and more heavy jacket type weather at Disney. So that was different.
Yeah, it is. There's something about the cold down there that's just like it gets to your bones. Like, because I mean, we're both from Missouri, and where we're from in the wintertime, it'll get below zero. I mean, not wind chill, like air temperature, and the wind chills will get 20 below zero, both in Kansas City and St. Louis. So we know cold, but you know, I guess it's just because like, if it's going to be really cold, I'm not going to go stand outside in the dark for like 4 hours, you know, just kind of hang out and wait for things to happen. You know, that's probably what it is, because you're at Walt Disney World. You're outside the whole time when it's freezing. I don't know. It's just it's kind of a miserable thing. So you do need to kind of, I always say, you know, just, you don't have to bring like a big, big coat. Just bring lots of layers. That's what I like, because it's easier to pack. And if you get hot, you can take off a layer and add one, or, you know, I think it keeps you warmer anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think just make sure you are prepared for when that sun goes down.
Yep.
Even when it is warm and during the day, I mean, it'll cool off at night. So like you said, layers are key.
Now, so you were down there during the holidays, which is a beautiful time. You know, Walt Disney World's beautiful in April or in September. It doesn't matter. It's always gorgeous. But especially during the holidays, you know, they bring out the trees and the gingerbread houses and the carousels and, you know, all the displays. You guys went around and toured the deluxe resort. So walk us through like how you managed to do that, because I like, it says that you guys, you know, would eat at a deluxe resort. That's what I like to do. I like to schedule either an ADR, say at Whispering Canyon, because it gets me to the Wilderness Lodge, or, you know, just go over to the Grand Floridian Cafe or what have you. Just make it a place where you can get something to eat, see some decorations, and maybe hop on the monorail, see a couple more resorts. So what was your strategy to do that?
Yeah, so one night that we were at Magic Kingdom, it was a party night, so we did not have tickets to the party that night. So we left early, and then we went over to Geyser Point at Wilderness Lodge, which that was a great place for a quick service. It's kind of like a little hidden gem.
Yes.
So I loved it. And then, like you said, when we were over there, we just toured that resort, and I think that that's probably my favorite at Christmas. It just fits. Like, that aesthetic of the lodge is just idyllic Christmas setting for me. So I loved that. And then the morning we were at Ohana, we visited, their Christmas decorations, which definitely a different feel than Wilderness Lodge, but still amazing how they tie in all of the theming into their Christmas decorations. And we didn't make it over to Grand Floridian. It just didn't work out. I kicked myself because I wanted to see that gingerbread house, and it just didn't work out to make it over there. But I guess I'll save it for next time.
That's it. That's it. If you don't see it, that's just got to go back. You know, that's what you do.
That's right.
What'd you think of Old Key West as far as their decorations? Because, you know, it's not, the thing about Old Key West is they don't have, you know, it's a DVC property, so they don't have like a lobby, like a Wilderness Lodge or even a Pop Century or a Polynesian. You know, it's more spread out. They have a check-in area, but did you find the decorations there, you know, to your liking?
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, they have a really pretty tree in the lobby, and then just there's a kind of like a corridor as you walk from the bus drop off. It's all decorated, and when we were there, at least, they were doing the Elf on the Shelf. So if you are a parent of the Elf on the Shelf, you know all about, you know, the magic that can bring. So they had an elf at the resort, and they would hide him around the lobby area, and if you found him, you just needed to tell a cast member and they would give you a little pin or something. I can't remember what it was, but every single day we would have to go and look for the elf at Old Key West. So that was a fun little piece of magic that they brought in there.
That's the kind of stuff though that I hope Disney always does, because it's a little touch that, you know, because when you come home, I mean, our Elf on the Shelf's name was Mickey. You know, I mean, we still have him. And the thing is, you know, that's a tradition that, you know, when your kids see that, when your girls see that, it's a connection back to that time and that place with grandma, grandpa, you guys, and being at their favorite place. You know, you don't go down to Walt Disney World to have an Elf on the Shelf hunt there in the lobby of a hotel, but it's something that makes the vacation even more magical, I think.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Just the little touches that Disney just brings into every aspect of everything they do is just, it blows my mind, because A, I'm not that creative, but B, I love that there are people out there that are like, oh, let's just throw this little touch in, because it made a good memory for my family.
That's so cool. Now, here we go. So everybody strap in, because I want to ask you about your last day, because you guys, You went to the Christmas party, closed it down, then you went to the pre-rope drop ADR at Epcot, or yeah, at Garden Grill there over at Epcot. But your last day, you were making the most of it. So walk us through how you you wanted to make sure that you used up all the fuel in the tank before you headed back to KC, it sounds like.
Absolutely. So the day before, we had been at Animal Kingdom, and we just absolutely loved Flight of Passage. I had a fast pass for that, but there was no way we were standing in the standby line. It was like 3 hours, so we just couldn't do that. But we wanted to do it again before we left. So on our last day, Animal Kingdom had extra magic hours in the morning. So we were out the door, I think, at like 5:30 to get over to, maybe 6:30. But anyways, we were there right at the beginning for extra magic hours at Animal Kingdom. We were second on at Flight of Passage. We booked it out of Animal Kingdom. So like, as everyone else is walking in, we're walking out.
Yeah, we're like, you guys are coming in. Check, we're already done. Have fun, guys.
What are you doing? Yeah, we got some weird looks. And then we hopped on a bus over to Hollywood. Well, we had our car. So we drove our car over to Hollywood Studios and rope dropped that for their regular park opening. And we managed to do Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror at that park. Then we drove to Magic Kingdom, parked at the Ticket and Transportation Center, took the monorail over and made it to our Seven Dwarfs Mine Train Fast Pass with like 5 minutes to spare. I don't recommend doing that because I was sweating it, because that was our only time that I had a fast pass for Seven Dwarfs. Now, we had rode it during the Christmas party, but I wanted to ride it again, obviously. So we cut it a little close, but it was a whirlwind. My girls still talk about, remember that time that we were running all over the parks and getting here, there? And so it was a memory day for sure.
Now, Ricky hasn't even hit her REM sleep by the time you guys were already done with the Magic Kingdom, your third park of the day. So that was super impressive there. Now, was that like you guys had an early flight, so you were heading out like around lunchtime, or did you do anything after Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, or was it just like we have this small window on this last morning, or was it just that's kind of how the day got going?
So we actually had a full day. We left the next day. So that day was just a full day, but it was our last day in the park. So like you said, we wanted to just cram in our favorites. And then we just chilled out at Magic Kingdom the rest of the day. We ended the day with dinner at Cinderella's Royal Table, just kind of cap off the whole trip. And while we were there, they have the Elsa light to the castle every night. So she did that while we were actually at dinner. And I have a picture of my girls looking out the back window when Elsa lights the castle. And that's just a great memory for me as a parent. I mean, I know my girls remember it too, but I will never forget the look on their faces when that castle lit up as we're eating dinner in the castle. So that was a great way to cap that trip.
Well, think about that too. Like anytime you see a Disney movie, you know, as the movie comes on, they have that logo with the castle, you know, and I mean, as corny as that sounds, you know, that could be something that takes them back to that time, that day, that experience with your family, you know, eating in Cinderella's castle. I mean, that's again, the kind of little stuff that becomes memories forever. And I love that. That's why I love Walt Disney World so much, because it puts you in a position to make memories that you're going to have for decades and decades. And, you know, likely they'll be telling their kids about this. You know, remember when I went here a long time ago? And maybe they'll bring their sons and daughters there, here in a couple decades. You know, you never know.
Maybe I'll get to go with them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why we're taking them. So many. Yeah, my kids better take me. That's all I got to say. You know, I've only done 1,400 podcasts. I might want to go with you when the time comes. I might want to go with my grandkids. Well, this, you know, it sounds like it was a great trip and an awesome time of year. So, of course, you know, you're a Disney fan, always looking forward. So what do you have maybe in 2019 on the radar? What are you hoping to have happen for your next Disney getaway?
So here at the end of January, I'm going with some girlfriends. We're going for a long weekend just to get away and just have some fun time together. So looking forward to that. And then I am taking my girls, just me and my girls and my mom. We're going on a girls trip. My husband is a high school football coach, so he can't get away in the fall. And we want to go to Mickey's Not So Scary. So we're going to go do that. I haven't picked the dates yet, but I just know that that's on my radar.
Sounds like 2019 is going to be a great year for you.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for kicking off the week with us. This is a perfect show for this time of year. I mean, it put a big smile on my face, and, you know, I'm so glad we could share that here on the podcast. So thanks for taking the time. Merry Christmas to y'all out in Kansas City, and thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks so much.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our two great sponsors, thewisdomofwalt.com. If you have a Disney file in your life, you know, get them a book, get them something they can, you know, sit by the fireplace, get some hot chocolate, because maybe they'll have some, if they're a teacher, this is, I'm telling you, and Michelle knows, you know, as teachers, you look forward to that Christmas break. I mean, you need it because you're on your breaking point right before break happens. And you know what? A good book, some hot chocolate and a fireplace, that cures everything. And if you're a Disney fan, check out thewisdomofwalt.com. Those two great books for the Disney fan, all about Walt Disney and chasing down his dreams. And actually for teachers and folks in business, it really does give you lessons about how to get the most out of those around you, whether it's a teacher and students, it's a business person with the teams they're working with and clients. It's a great book. Not only just the Disney stuff, but just the stuff to get you fired up for life. So check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And of course, touringplans.com, keeping you out of lines for decades and decades. Now, probably for just about a decade, but they're going to help give you the information you need to know where the crowds typically go. And you can go the other way. And it's really, really important as we close out 2018 and the crowds grow and grow and grow. And it's a great last-minute gift, too, because all you need is somebody's email. Bam. They have a premium subscription, 365 days of great information. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. And if you're like me, it's almost time to start your holiday shopping. And if you're going to do that on Amazon, support the podcast. It's very, very simple. Just click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Costs you nothing extra. You get all your Prime benefits. But it really does help support the show. So thank you to everybody who is using our link. And if you haven't, please do it this week. And again, just click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And we've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Hopefully it's off to a great start. Of course, we're going to be back together again on Wednesday answering your listener questions. But this has been the Missouri Show. So for Michelle over on the west side, this is Mike over on the east side wishing you a great Monday. But it's time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.